when we think of game-changing moments in football, we think of the dramatic and crucial moments like Sergio Aguero's title-winning goal or Steven Gerrard's slip against Chelsea. But what about the what-if occasions that could have changed the game we love forever? Well, this new book looks into those moments and explains what could have or could have not been moments that could have changed football forever. What If? The new book written by the two Peters, Peter Prickett and Peter Thornton. Hello, both. Nice to speak to you.
Hi.
Lovely to have you on the show. Now, first of all, this is a brilliant book, dwelling and looking at the facts around many elements of football in the years gone by. Peter P, you were considering writing this on a blog, yeah? But Peter T, you were adamant it must have been into a book instead.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because I think we both genuinely, I know this sounds a bit of a cliche, but we both genuinely had a similar idea about this, you know, what could have happened in football. So Peter, who I'd known on Twitter for quite a while, had got this idea for, you know, what if Messi and Ronaldo played together? And I tweeted him, and then we finished up having a really long conversation where we were going, oh, no, let's do it. Let's do it bigger than a blog. Let's do it as a book because, you know, as you've just rightly suggested, there are so many what if moments in football.
And it's something we see no matter what, even right now at the moment in the transfer window. Peter P, you probably can agree with this. By the looks of things, with the likes of Mbappe looking to leave PSG, everyone's going to say, oh, well, you know, what if we sign Mbappe? What if Mbappe goes to City or wherever, you know, any team? It's like, well, it's a cheat code, but there's all the ifs, buts and what ifs. It's got to actually come to fruition, and we never will know until it all occurs, will we?
No, and sometimes we won't know until 15, 20 years later. Because we have all the stories of Zlatan famously almost joining Arsenal, but Wenger asked him to come and do a trial, and Zlatan famously said, Zlatan doesn't do trials. But if Ibrahimovic has gone to Arsenal as a 16, 17-year-old, who knows? Of course, at the time, no one knew how good Zlatan was going to end up being. And it's only until later on, with the ability to look back through these players' careers and how that period of time played out for that particular club, that we think that really could have been a game-changing moment. At the moment, because Mbappe's greatness is clear for all to see, it's immediately someone is going to get a super player that could lead to a raft of trophies. But it could be someone who's just emerging onto the scene and we don't know quite how great they're about to be, that someone misses out on and we don't hear about it until years later.
It's always, yeah, it's the element of uncertainty and not knowing. That's what I think interests so many football fans and gets everyone going. And is that how you two came about then? So Peter T, you were saying that through your acquaintance through Twitter is how you two come to meet. And I guess, was that through the community of putting out things like that? What if this player comes to here, and what if and what extra, you know, and whatnot?
So we both had, you know, shared views and shared ideals on the way that the game should be coached. And then you go from there on the way that the game should be played. And then, as you asked us at the start, you know, despite me supporting City and Peter supporting Liverpool, and throughout our wonderful relationship, those two have gone head to head, we've managed to stay objective, you know. And I think, I'm hoping the readers will see from the book that despite our allegiances, that we do remain objective. And a lot of those, you know, Peter does some brilliant matchups, fantasy matchups. And yet they looked at objectively and from a coaching point of view. So that was really good.
What I like about this book is that you said that you want people to be questioning and not necessarily agreeing with the facts that you're putting out there and whatnot. I feel like one of the biggest ones for me, actually, that is any football fan will still be saying this every game, you know, no matter what side of the match is victorious or not. At the moment, the offside rule, particularly VAR, the question of, well, what if VAR was never introduced? And looking at this, looking at all them goals, there's certain teams over recent seasons of the Premier League that say, well, we've had the most goals overruled by VAR than any other team. If we didn't have them, we'd be sitting in third rather than 12th. And that's a prime example, isn't it, really?
Yeah, the offside law, I mean, the laws of the game, you know, are like a dream pool for what-if moments. But the offside law came out of the way we wanted to write it, came out of our love for coaching. Because I think a lot of people out there, as you've just said, go, oh, if we did away with offside, every game would be like 5-4. But we don't think it necessarily would be. We think if there's no offside, you know, it's the offside law that gives the game its fluidity. As you've rightly said, what we need to do is ensure that the offside law doesn't take the fun out of the current game, you know, with VAR, which we both vehemently oppose.
Yes. I mean, there's so many that you can talk for hours on the element of VAR, and any football fan can always give you their two pence and thoughts on that. In the book, though, there's some excellent things. I mean, the biggest what if is, for me, Messi and Ronaldo played together on the same team. What the elements could have been like, or what they could not have been like.
Well, that particular topic was the catalyst for the book. That was the original blog post idea, was... We see all the time the constant arguments and almost the tribalism has grown between the Messi and Ronaldo camp, and people throw insults at each other for daring to suggest one is better than the other. And can't we just enjoy them? And could we, rather than pouring this energy into rowing with each other, could we not use it to imagine what it might be like for the two to play together? And in my imagination, there would have been an opportunity before Ronaldo went to Manchester United for Barcelona to go and sign him, because Barcelona had a history of signing Portuguese wingers, Figo, Quaresma. They had a history of picking them up young. So following that on with that, there's every chance they could have signed Ronaldo as a young player. So they could have been emerging in the same team with Ronaldo wide on the left-hand side, Messi wide on the right, complementing each other. Might not have got a huge amount of work rate from either of them, but I'm sure that could have been made up for elsewhere. And the two of them could have grown together. And perhaps in the great superhero comic book story tradition, where two guys who grew up together and were great friends, as their relationship grows and their egos grow, they clash, and that rivalry that we ended up with still occurs. But one, we have an addition of this town not being big enough for the both of us, and one of them has to leave Barcelona to achieve the plaudits, which would probably be Ronaldo.
What I liked about this book as well is that the cover has other players' heads imposed on other players' bodies. There's two pictures of Messi and Ronaldo, both in Barcelona shirts together, a picture of Eric Cantona raising a Champions League trophy with Manchester United. And on the back, this one strikes me the most, because my dad, who's neither a Nottingham Forest or Derby County fan, always said that Brian Clough could have been the best England manager, but it was never to be. And he always stands by that he probably would have been a really good England manager, but we will never know. And what there is on the back of the book is a photograph of Brian Clough's face on someone else's body amongst a load of England coaching staff, which says it all.
Yeah, I mean, I am a what you might call a legacy football fan. I'm a bit older, but, you know, that was the thing when I was, you know, a young man growing up with football. You know, I think every fan in the country wanted Brian to take over the England team because he'd done so well with Forest. And you could not imagine him not doing well with England. And we all felt that, you know, England had a really decent side as well at that time, at the back end of the 70s and the early 80s, and what he could have done with that side. And the fantasy element of the book, when we look at, we try and guess, and it is educated guesses of what Brian would have done with that team and how he would have shuffled it round, and hopefully what success he could have brought to the England team. If you think if we'd have won a major tournament in the, you know, the late 70s, early 80s, it would have done away with all the 40 years of hurt. You know, we could have just cracked on as a major footballing nation. What impact would that have had on, you know, the golden generation that they talk about, you know, with Lampard, Gerrard and Scholes? Would they have had a lot more, you know, confidence? Would it have taken the weight off their shoulders because Cloughy had have already won a couple of titles? You know, the knock-on effects are what I think makes the book. It isn't just, you know, Aguero misses the goal and United win the title, it's the knock-on effects, like Cluffy, that makes the book what it is.
That's what it is. It's all the domino effects that follow it.
Exactly that.
What impact would that have had in the deal in Skinner's bank balance?
Exactly that. You know, that song would never have been around and we wouldn't have been chanting it like we were going to win the Euros in 2021 and then not winning the Euros. Peter T, you alluded to before we started speaking, you're a City fan. There's a reference to the fact that, about United's treble and Eric Cantona, what if he was a part of that? But someone who is responsible for City's treble, Guardiola, if he hadn't have took up the role at Barcelona B in 2007, what could have been?
Yeah, we speculate that he meets a lower division chairman on holiday who persuades him to come to England. I mean, the thing about Guardiola is that he divides opinion. You know, people see him as a coaching genius and we both fall into that camp, you know, and other people see him as, you know, a checkbook billionaire who can only, you know, have success if he spends lots of money. So, you know, if you go on Twitter regularly, people are going, oh, I'd like to see him, you know, coach at Rochdale and see what happens. So in the book, we create a fantasy team in Division Two called Old Dale, which is a nice amalgamation of Rochdale and Oldham. And we see what Pep does with a limited budget, shall we say.
That's the best thing about it, because you're highlighting the divide amongst football sort of admirers and footballing sort of, let's just say, well, football manager admirers. Do you find, Peter P, that football fans, they're just the most guilty for it, for always saying the what if and looking at the domino effects and looking into the non-realities of things? But that's the whole point of the game, and that's what always keeps us guessing and on our toes.
I think it's not just football, it's sport in general, isn't it? We've been talking, Peter and I, about cricket and the what ifs. Cricket is possibly even worse than football, because if you just look at the last test match, we've got the Bairstow incident, we've got catches taken, catches dropped. It's just sport in general, because the fine lines between success and failure are there all the time. It could be any particular incident could change the course of a game, which might change the course of a career or of history. It's alternate timelines writ large. You know, we have so many moments, and you could, what might perhaps be the separator is how deep those moments run, because it could just be, well, they won the game. That's it. Okay, there could be nothing else that happens after that. But then one that we don't put in the book would be an incident like Mark Robbins scoring for Manchester United, the goal that supposedly he doesn't score that goal, United don't win that cup tie, Ferguson is sacked. And then that just unrolls a whole different history of the game. So some moments are bigger than others.
They are indeed.
Absolutely so. And do you think that no matter what, you know, regardless of knowing the outcome, if there's some instances where we will never know the outcome, the one thing you can guarantee on is that it will always be up for discussion.
It's one of the things we hit on it with the book. You know, we wanted to set people talking, you know, and the idea is, as you alluded to, chances, you come in, what you get now, actually, I was going to say when you're coming out of the game, but what you get going into the game, because everyone's on social media and you get the, you know, you get the team lineup. And everyone has an opinion on that team lineup. You know, what if Guardiola played Gundogan as a holding mid? What if he plays him further forward? I wouldn't have done this. You know, and everyone thinks that they are a better coach than Pep when they pick in that team. And then you're coming out of the game afterwards and everyone going, oh, if we'd have just scored then, they wouldn't, you know, we should have been 2-0 up, not 1-1, you know. So, and then as Peter says, you know, what we try to look at, you know, Mark Robbins one will probably go in the next, but we try to look at games that had, you know, or instances that had that big knock-on effect that did change the course of a player or a club's history. And I think that's the beauty of it.
It definitely is the beauty of it. It's a beautiful book to be reading through. And the allusion there, well, what you just alluded to there, sorry, about what might be in the next book. I hope to see one, and I've got one for you if you want. At one point, Burnley under Sean Dyche were very, very close to signing Harry Kane. But what Tottenham decided to do is they were just going to give him one more season to see how we would go. And the instance could have been if Burnley signed Kane, you know, he'd have silverware to his name by now, wouldn't he?
That's a belter. We always think our favourite quote in the book, and I'm going to set Peter P up for this, is in our crazy transfers. But go on, Peter. It's the best quote ever, and it's from Jack Walker of Blackburn.
Yeah, Zidane is in question here, and Blackburn were very close to a deal for Zinedine Zidane. But Jack Walker said, why do we need Zidane when we've got Tim Sherwood?
That's brilliant. And there's so many more in the book like that. I'm not going to spoil it all because there's so much you can read from. What if Steven Gerrard had signed for Chelsea? The big one for me, what if Brian Clough had managed England? And there's so much more you can read about in the book. Moments that could have changed football forever. What if? The key word written by the two Peters, Peter Prickett and Peter Thornton, and it's out now on Pitch Publishing. Gentlemen, thank you ever so much for your time and opening all manner of cans of worms and bringing up these debates amongst the footballing community.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Chance. It's been great.